What's up, fellas? It's Bush here. We have tons of tools to get you ready to smoke your buffoon league mates in our redraft rankings manifesto. Whether you're looking for our consensus tiered-based rankings, top 200s, and by position, fantasy football news blurbs to keep you informed and find this year's Puka Nacua, risk ratings so you know how risky the draft picks you're spending are, the truth series so you can see how their 2023 season went, or you can compare our rankings to Sleeper, to ESPN, to Underdog, to Yahoo, to NFL, whichever platform you're drafting on, we have you covered this year with our Redraft Rankings Manifesto. Right now, you can get our draft guide for free by signing up on Underdog Fantasy using just $10 and using code FSE. If you already have an Underdog account or you can't play where you live, you can also head to flockfantasy.com. Use the code FSE for a 7-day free trial, 30% off any of the packages, and all of that is linked in the description of all of our videos if you need the links for that. All right, let's roll the pod. If you guys are drafting on the ESPN platform, you better pray that your league mates are not watching this video, because today we're going to break down the best draft strategy on ESPN, going through the standard scoring system on ESPN, talking about the quarterbacks, running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends strategy portion of this video, as well as kind of the values that we like based on our own rankings versus home league ADP that is in our draft guide, which of course you can get down below. This should be a fun video, and at the end of it, we will do a mock draft with ESPN composite ADP using Fantasy Pros. But let's get things kicked off here. The ESPN default scoring setting, PPR league, 4 point per passing touchdown, one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one flex, one tight end. That is kind of the basis of all the discussion that we're going to have today using that scoring setting. Because I think most of you guys out there that play in ESPN leagues are probably not getting too crazy with like three flexes and tight end premiums and super flex leagues. We're going to try and kind of blanket statement most of this advice to the casual fantasy league that people are playing in on the ESPN platform. And that's also what we'll use in the mock draft at the end.
Yeah, 100%. Again, we'll make a ton of content throughout the year on Underdog, on Sleeper, but specifically people have asked us the question, like, how does this apply to my Yahoo league? How does this apply to my ESPN league? And as we are seeing, again, if you guys haven't already watched a Yahoo video, make sure you do that down below, because we will have a full playlist with our August videos kind of getting you guys in the gear for your fantasy drafts. But there is differences in terms of strategy between the platforms, specifically when it comes to ESPN and Yahoo versus the other two. And the reason being, of course, is that this is a shallow league format, like you said, two wide receivers, two running backs, one flex. The only real micro difference in terms of the default scoring on ESPN versus Yahoo, though, is that this is a full PPR versus Yahoo being on a half point scoring setting. So should be fascinating. Again, there will be relative similarities, so keep in tune with us. Again, some of the micro targets will be different, but in terms of draft philosophy, as you guys will see, there are some similarities here.
Yeah, for sure. Let's go position by position as we're going to do here. The quarterback position on ESPN, again, this is available in our draft guide. So if you think this is an awesome tool, you can see our FSE rankings. You can't actually see them on the screen because we hit them. But basically, you can see the difference between our rankings versus ESPN's overall ADP. And it gives you an idea of kind of the good value pockets that you should be targeting within this position group. And we're going to go through all four fantasy positions. You guys can see that one major difference that stands out right away, I think, on ESPN is that Patrick Mahomes is the quarterback one in the ADP, which is not the case on Underdog or Sleeper or any serious platform, to be perfectly honest. So QBs are pushed up the board in general. You can see the first, you know, five, six, seven quarterbacks there are generally a lot higher up the board in ESPN consensus ADP than they are versus our own rankings. And also, too, one thing that I noticed is specifically like the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like you can see Mahomes going quarterback one, CJ Stroud being QB five, Joe Burrow being QB seven, Aaron Rodgers is pushed up the board, Brock Purdy's pushed up the board. Kirk Cousins, a little bit overvalued as well. I think fantasy football is kind of disconnected from real football on the ESPN platform, because we know in fantasy, guys like Jalen Hurts, guys like Anthony Richardson, guys like Kyler Murray, guys like Jaden Daniels have this like rushing upside that is actually scoring higher than passing upside in overall fantasy scoring. So the fact that you can get nice discounts on these dual threat guys like Hurts, Richardson, Kyler, and Daniels presents an awesome value opportunity for those of you guys drafting on ESPN.
Yeah, it's pretty simple, like you said, that they do value, you know, real life standing. You know, where would we rank our top 100 quarterbacks if you were to make a list of top 100 players? And like guys like Dak, obviously, Rodgers, you know, Burrow, Mahomes. You could see relative to where they are ranked on our rankings, relative to where they're ranked on Sleeper, on Underdog, that Yeah, compared to what we know works in fantasy football, especially knowing that this is a 4-point passing touchdown league. If it was 6-point passing, and again, I would still rank Allen and Hurts as 1-2, but if somebody were to tell me in a 6-point passing touchdown league, they think Mahomes is going to throw for 40-45 touchdowns, I think it'd be a fine pick to take him quarterback one. However, I will also say that because it's a 4-point passing touchdown league, he shouldn't be at the top there. And because, of course, that he's going at 23 overall, that's still a little too high for our taste. Again, we notice across these platforms in the last two videos that a lot of these quarterback valuations are pushed up holistically, but specifically with ESPN, like you said, targeting those rushing threats, targeting guys, you know, like Richardson, Daniels, Caleb Williams, Tua Tagovailoa, Jared Goff, Trevor Lawrence, Justin Herbert, Matthew Stafford, Deshaun Watson. For the most part, you got some mid-range values there, but to be honest, just waiting at the position as a whole is a good strategy.
Yeah, for sure. And I think you have to keep in mind that like Jalen Hurts and Josh Allen rushed for 15 touchdowns last year. And yeah, that is equivalent to 22.5 passing touchdowns just on a fantasy point per game scoring standpoint. So these rushing quarterbacks, definitely, if you're looking for an early round quarterback, you're getting a slight discount on the rushing options and you're getting a good option, like you said, to fade the quarterback position. If you want to build out the rest of your roster first, get your running backs, get your wide receivers, maybe get an elite tight end. As we've talked about in numerous videos this offseason, it is a good year on a micro player take level to fade the quarterback position because you have high upside options like Daniels, like Williams, like Rodgers, maybe not on this platform, like Tua, like Jared Goff, like Trevor Lawrence, like Justin Herbert, like Deshaun Watson and Stafford, who can have like monster seasons, just not at monster price tags like you have to pay, for example, on CJ Stroud or Joe Burrow on this platform specifically. So definitely a good time or a good year to get rushing quarterbacks on ESPN, as well as if you're going to fade the quarterback position, to grab one in the 9th, 10th round and kind of be set at the position. So moving into the running back position, and similar to what we talked about in the Yahoo video, obviously there's going to be a little bit of overlap here, is if you want a anchor running back, it's probably wise to get one early, because as you can see with our rankings, McCaffrey, Breece Hall, Bijan Robinson, and then Jahmyr Gibbs, who's still currently my RB4 in my rankings, depending his health situation. Same. Those guys are kind of right in line with where they go in ESPN ADP. And then you can see the other guys like Kyren, Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley, Jonathan Taylor. And then, of course, we'll talk about the dead zone guys in a second. Those guys go a little bit higher than we're willing to take them. We have other wide receivers and such that we would take over those guys. Again, this league is a little bit shallower. It's 2 running back, 2 wide receiver, 1 flex, and 1 tight end. But it is a full PPR format. So the wide receiver position should be, you know, push up the board to some degree, at least more than it was on Yahoo. This format's not really conducive to running like a true zero RB, because you don't really have enough starting spots to be able to fill out like a bunch of wide receivers. If you have an ESPN league that's a 3 wide receiver, 2 flex, that would obviously be different. But there's a nice pocket of running backs at the early portion, and also in that kind of Isaiah Pacheco, Devon Achane, Travis Etienne area. But again, similar to the quarterback position, the proven guys, Jonathan Taylor, Saquon, Derrick Henry, they're pushed up the board. So for me, I think that the hero running back strategy is definitely one that would really work well on ESPN, because there's a good chance you're only going to get like 1 good running back value in the first couple of rounds. It's probably not likely that you'd get a couple good running back values based on the way that we have them ranked. So I think it's smart to get 1, maybe 2 in the first 2 to 3 rounds, 2 to 4 rounds. Based on these ADPs, you should be able to easily fade the running back dead zone. I doubt you'll get opportunities to draft 2 anchor running backs early. So I think hero running back is probably the strategy I would look to employ. We're not anchored to any given strategy, but I think given the ADPs, I think hero is a good way to go.
Yeah, I will say there is one caveat I have, is that Devon Achane, 30th overall, the only green range running back we have on this list in the early portion, once you get into the, you know, top 30 or so type of rankings. Devon Achane goes at 30. We have him valued as a mid-range second round pick. So say you grab 1 running back, 1 wide receiver in your first 2 rounds, I'd be doing everything in my power to get Devon Achane in that early 3rd portion. So keep that in mind. I will say, though, once you get past Devon Achane and you go 33rd on, I mean, welcome to the running back dead zone that we know and love. You want to skip over this range of the draft, starting at around the Joe Mixon area, all the way down to like James Conner or so in these rankings. Again, remember the default scoring here is in a PPR setting on your ESPN league. So running backs really have no reason to be pushed up the board. Also, the common sentiment that we do see is that proven guys are the ones that are going higher inherently. Because, I mean, it seems like everybody that's playing on ESPN is kind of stuck in 2018.
Yeah, no, literally. It's like Alvin Kamara, like the disparity between his ESPN ADP at 35 overall and his underdog ADP is like in the late 70s. Like that's the biggest difference. And again, this is like PPR scoring, and Kamara catches passes and things of that nature, but the wide receiver position should be well ahead of where Alvin Kamara goes in the running back range. Again, if you guys are doing ESPN drafts, the thing that you need to take away, and we suggest you watch the other Hero RB, Double Hero RB, the number one draft strategy videos that we do, is the running back dead zone is alive and well. You do not want to be drafting running backs in this area of the draft. You instead want to be hammering wide receivers, taking your hero or maybe double hero running backs in the first 1 to 3 rounds if you can. The pockets of the draft afterwards, let's say you only have one running back on your roster, you want to skip over that Joe Mixon to James Conner range of the RB dead zone and then start targeting running backs after that point. Round 7, round 8 is when you want to look back at that position. Javonte Williams, Tajay Spears, Trey Benson, Chase Brown, some of those guys are the best values on the board. And then also hammering a lot of running backs in the late rounds, as we often like to do to backfill our benches with upside. That is how we like to handle the running back position. And we can kind of pivot right into the wide receiver strategy because these two go hand in hand. If you're not taking running backs in that area of the draft, the reason is because you're loading up on absolutely absurd wide receiver values like the ones that you can see on the screen. If you guys draft on Underdog or even on Sleeper, for example, you don't get values like 34th overall Drake London.
No, you simply don't get values. And it's almost the opposite at wide receiver in the sense that, yes, of course, we still love those stud wide receivers. We love our CeeDee Lamb. We love our Tyreek Hill. We love our Jamar Chase, even down to like, you know, Chris Olave, et cetera there. But the main value pockets you see, the main periods of green is specifically once you get past the first two rounds, because I mean, there's just valuations across the board that don't make any sense. Starting from London down for the most part. I mean, Drake London, a guy that we have valued 15th overall in our consensus rankings, goes off the board as the 34th overall player on ESPN. Like, why is he going after Stephon Diggs? Two spots after Stephon Diggs. For reference, Stephon Diggs, a guy that we have ranked at 48 overall. Drake London, a guy we have ranked at 15th overall. So pretty absurd. Again, that shares the common sentiment that the reason why Stephon Diggs is going that high, the reason that Davante Adams, you know, some of these older wide receivers are going that high on ESPN scoring is that they won somebody their championship, so people are fine taking them higher. Almost kind of like when you keep your captain on when he's 35, 36 years old in hockey, and he's clearly not the same player, and he's making $8.5 million, but you kind of want to show support with all he's done for your city.
Yeah, you're literally shooting direct shots at John Tavares on the Maple Leafs right now. He's actually losing his captaincy. But I talked about in the Yahoo video, it's basically like Madden ratings. The ESPN and Yahoo ADPs are like how Madden ratings are done, where a clearly washed wide receiver is like a 94 overall in Madden. And the young superstar in the making, Puka Nacua, Nico Collins type, is like an 83 overall. And we all know that that's not accurate, especially when we think of the production that's going to come this year. In ESPN, people have to see it first. And guess what? In fantasy, you don't have that luxury. You have to project forward.
Hey, I'm so glad you mentioned that. Like, the biggest example I can think of is like DeAndre Hopkins being an 89 while Nico and Puka are under 85 overall. So that kind of, you know, shares the same thing. Maybe, you know, Madden gets their ratings from ESPN ADP, who knows? But all jokes aside, again, because we love the wide receiver values in the round 3, round 4 area on, we actually do love the idea, like we said, at running back of grabbing one or two early and backfilling at the wide receiver position. Because as you'll mention with some of the specific micro names for the best values, man, like we're talking about guys that we have legitimately 20 spots higher in our rankings.
Yeah, I mean, like the early names you can see there, Marvin Harrison Jr., Drake London, Nico Collins, both 49ers receivers, Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel. You also see Devontae Smith, Cooper Kupp, Jalen Waddle, Malik Nabers, T. Higgins. And then even like the late round guys, you're able to take swings that are basically free on guys like Rashee Rice and Christian Kirk and Jaden Reed and Brian Thomas Jr. and Jackson Smith and Jigba and Xavier Worthy and Ladd McConkey. Like, you can get wide receiver values that are absolutely absurd, and we will obviously detail that when we're into the mock draft. So the reason that we say, hey, if you have a tiebreaker early on, lean towards the running back position, is because you know you can inherently get those wide receiver values late. It's almost the polar opposite of what you do on Underdog, because on Underdog, you know you can get the running back values late. So it's like, you know what, I'll tiebreak my Amon-Ra St. Brown versus Breece Hall by taking St. Brown, because structurally it sets me ahead at the wide receiver position, because as we know on Underdog, all of those wide receiver values don't exist. You don't get Christian Kirk outside of the fourth round, and he goes in like round 9 on ESPN. Like, it's a big time difference in the values at the wide receiver and running back positions and how those two interact. And it's weird because ESPN is the full PPR platform and Underdog is the half PPR platform.
Yeah, it's definitely a different climate in terms of what you're dealing with. I mean, you're dealing with sweaty sickos like myself and Corey and, you know, like Pat Crane and stuff over on Underdog versus some of your drunk home league buddies you draft with on Labor Day.
Yeah, exactly. And obviously, I would highly suggest if you do play on ESPN to sign up on Underdog Fantasy, use our promo code FSE. You'll get $250 back in bonus cash. You'll get a special pick 'em in your lineup there for your pick 'em entries. And you can do some best ball drafts to get practice for your league. And you can understand where the sharpest players in fantasy football are taking the players. And you'll go into your ESPN draft absolutely laughing at the ADP. You're going to be like, oh my God, I had to take this guy in round 3 in an underdog draft, and he goes in round 8. In an ESPN draft, because these guys have absolutely no idea what they're doing. And you can walk out of there with some absolute god squads. So talking about the tight end position, then we'll get into the mock draft here. You can see it is very similar to the Yahoo video, where there's a sizable gap between the tight ends 1 to 3, Kelce, Laporta, and Andrews. And also Andrews being tight end 3 is a difference between our rankings and the ESPN and Yahoo ADPs. And then tight ends 4 to 8, you can see there McBride, Kittle, Kincaid, Ingram, and Pitts. They're coming at a significant discount minus Ingram there. So I think the best place to get your elite tight end is probably in that middle tier, whether it's McBride, Kittle, Kincaid, or Pitts. You can get really good values on those players. Late round tight end is also somewhat viable, because after like TJ Hawkinson and Dallas Goedert are off the board, none of these guys are even getting drafted. So if you really wanted to, you could fade tight end into oblivion and draft 2 tight ends at the very end of your draft, round 14 and 15, and try and get by and stream that position. But I will say, this year on the micro level, as we talked about in the Finding the Next League Winning Tight End video, I want to secure an elite tight end if I can. And to me, McBride, Kittle, Kincaid, Pitts, Ferguson, and Bowers stand out on the ADP right now as guys that you can get to lock down your tight end position that are actually coming at a good value based on where we have them ranked versus where they're going in ESPN drafts.
Yeah, and on the adverse, you want to fade the hell out of guys like Evan Ingram, TJ Hawkinson, some of those more proven guys, because, I mean, it just shares the same sentiment of the other positions, where if you're kind of proven the tight end position, I mean, just look at some of the vet names. Travis Kelce goes 10 spots higher than where we have them ranked. Mark Andrews goes 11 spots higher than where we have him ranked. Evan Ingram, like we said, 28 and a half. David Njoku, again, I love David Njoku. I think he's a stud tight end, 17 spots higher than where we have him ranked. Dallas Goedert, TJ Hawkinson, Cole Kmet. I mean, there's just names across the board that have been relevant in recent years that people are pushing up the board because, quite simply, they want a familiar name at their tight end spot.
Yeah, it's funny, too, because we're actually higher on Kelce relative to Underdog. Like, yeah, we have him at 28. He goes at, like, 38 or 36 on Underdog, but he goes at 18 on ESPN because it's just everybody knows Travis Kelce. Like, there's probably Swifties drafted.
Taylor Swift, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, exactly. That's what we think about with the ESPN ADP. Is the best way to get practice for this is A, to use our rankings and use our draft guide, and B, to do Underdog drafts. And thankfully, they actually go hand in hand, because when you sign up on Underdog, you get our draft guide emailed to you within 24 hours after you make your first deposit. So we are going to pivot over to the mock draft and kind of implement some of the strategy that we've talked about in this video. So let's pivot over to the Draft Wizard on Fantasy Pros. All right, so we are using the Fantasy Pros Draft Wizard draft simulator that they have here. The interesting and cool thing about this, and again, this is not a sponsored video or anything, it's just a good tool, is that you can actually draft specifically based on ESPN ADP, or, you know, NFL.com ADP or Sleeper ADP, whatever site you're actually using. And you can use the ESPN pre-draft rankings, and you can get good practice in an ESPN draft where the lobby is not packed with like a bunch of idiots who make 3 picks and then let their team auto draft and they're taking defenses and kickers in round 6. So that's the good thing, is that you're drafting basically off of experts, essentially. The bots are like using Fantasy Pros ECR, but it is based off of the ESPN ADP. And you can also make adjustments looking at your league, be like, oh, my quarterback, the quarterback position in my league is just overvalued. They're going to push the quarterbacks way up the board. Yeah. Or maybe they hate running backs and they're going to push running backs way down the board relative to what the normal ADP would suggest. So I like that you can make those additions. Same with rookies, too. If people really love rookies every year, you can push those up the board. So let's get into the draft. We are going to be picking from the 3 hole in this draft. As we get into it, me and Danny are going to tag team this thing and kind of go through, as we talked about, execute potentially like a hero RB type of build, execute potentially some of these like big mid-round wide receivers, and then also potentially get an elite tight end, as we talked about. So McCaffrey and Lamb go off the board first. I think we're both in agreement that it's Tyreek Hill here. That's who we both have ranked. I have him ranked at 2. I believe you have him ranked at 2, or maybe you have him ranked at 3.
I have him ranked at 2 right now. Again, if you're in a shallower format like this, I actually probably would have McCaffrey as my 2. behind CeeDee Lamb, just because CeeDee Lamb's kind of like the safest, both him, Tyreek Hill, and Christian McCaffrey kind of being older, you know, elite options. Because it would be a shallower starting lineup, I don't mind if you want to take McCaffrey over Hill if it's, you know, two wide receivers, one flex. But I will say, in these leagues I play in, three wide receivers, two flexes specifically, I would take Tyreek Hill. Again, we don't have to make the decision at the three spot because obviously McCaffrey goes one, but that would be the tidbit. If McCaffrey did fall, in this shallower format, I'd actually be more willing to take him.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think also when you pay attention to the board, it actually looks a little different than the ADP that we were talking about. And like I said, the reason for that is because we're actually drafting against Fantasy Pros ECR in addition to the ESPN ADP, which makes for a more realistic experience because your league mates are probably not all.
They're
going to
print off their cheat sheets. They're going
to print. Yeah, they're going to print off their content creators' cheat sheets, and they're going to probably know what they're doing to some degree. There's probably a couple tacos that have no idea what they're doing, but there's a good vast majority of your guys' home leagues, I'm sure, are going to draft a little bit closer to this. They're not going to draft straight off the ESPN ADP like complete morons. So let's look at the running back position, because we did take, obviously, a wide receiver in the first round. Do we want to go in the direction of grabbing ourselves an anchor running back like ETN or like Devon Achane or like Isaiah Pacheco? I mean, Achane is our highest ranked running back, but there's a possibility we get him on the way back.
I agree. I will say, though, knowing that there's just so many good options across the board, I wouldn't mind just grabbing HN here and seeing if like ETN or one of those wide receivers fell back. But I'll capitulate to what you want to do here. Do you want to grab ETN first and play the ADP game, or do you want to just grab HN and ensure we have them?
So I have ETN and HN really closely ranked. We also do have Hill already. And in the Yahoo video, we took two straight Falcons to start the draft. So let's capitulate and we'll go with ETN as the pick here and hope that HN falls back to us. Play the ADP game. Plus also, if we're going to take two Dolphins at the beginning of our draft, maybe we want a slight discount on HN to do it. So I'll capitulate here and we'll go with ETN here. And we do actually have HN fall back. So that makes for an easy pick. We'll just look at the other positions just to be safe here. Again, these wide receivers are all really good values. I love Nico Collins. I love some of these guys. We could go Collins if you want to, because I know you, I believe, actually have him higher in your rankings than Collins. But as we talked about throughout the video, you want to make those tiebreakers knowing you're not going to get good running backs later.
Yeah, again, specifically in my rankings, I do have Nico Collins a couple spots higher, but knowing this is a shallow starting lineup, knowing that there's heavy emphasis in terms of ADP at the running back position, I already have Devon Achane as a steal relative to where I have my rankings, that I'm not going to get this type of opportunity to take a running back I have after where I have him ranked in this draft.
Yeah, exactly. Because like we said, throughout the dead zone, you're not getting values on running back. So you're going to see a bunch of bad RBs. You're seeing them go off the board now with Mixon. And all these dudes, like, look, we got Pacheco went right after our pick. You got Mixon, you got Kamara, you got Josh Jacobs. Again, I think that's fine on Jacobs, but Mixon and Kamara going that high is just, it shows you exactly what the format looks like. So we're back on the clock here. What do we want to do?
Debo.
Yeah, I mean, Debo Samuel being available at this pick is pretty insane. Tight end, we do have Andrews, we do have Kincaid, we have Pitts. We still have opportunities at that point in time. So let's grab Samuel here as our second wide receiver. And we're still in pretty good shape at that position as well, because as we talked about, we're about to get some nice values at wide receiver through these mid rounds. Yeah. So what are you thinking here? Do you want to deviate for a tight end? Do you want to maybe try and punt tight end to the 6'10"? What do you think?
I was going to ask you two options here, because I do think we could backfill a wide receiver to catch up on depth, knowing the platform. Do you want to grab... Honestly, I think I would rather have A-Rich here and see what tight end falls, knowing that the ADP just hates Kyle Pitts, it almost feels like.
Yeah, I mean, we could grab Richardson here. Let's go with Richardson. Again, the rushing quarterbacks is the thing that we talked about. Rushing quarterbacks come at a little slight discount here. We do see Ferguson, Ingram, and all those guys go off the board. I believe Pitts fell back to us, and so did Kittle. So, I mean, Kyle Pitts is a pretty easy pick. I'm just going to take a look around to the rest of the draft board. So a lot of quarterbacks went off the board. It looks like we kind of started a run with Richardson there too, which is nice. And then also more dead zone running backs going up the board. Again, I don't mind Ramondre Stevenson, but I don't mind Ramondre Stevenson in round seven, not in round five. I don't mind Aaron Jones in round seven, but he goes in round five here. So absolutely not. Walker, James Conner, all these guys going way high. Zamir White at the 601 makes me want to absolutely throw up.
I want to poke my eyes out watching that.
Yeah. So we're going to grab Kyle Pitts here, anchor our tight end position. And again, knowing the nature of this platform, like on no other platform, Sleeper or Underdog Fantasy, would Christian Kirk be available at the 703? Would, Godwin and McLaurin and Rashee Rice, Rashee Rice, Jaden Reed are my two highest JSN. Rated receivers.
Yeah.
You want Rashee Rice?
Yeah. Give me Rashee Rice. Give me a receiver.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I like Christian Kirk too, but I did move him down slightly after in the preseason he was taken off the field in two wide receiver sets in favor of Brian Thomas Jr. and Gabe Davis. And I, Rashee Rice, I moved up, obviously, as I talked about in yesterday's video, because the closer we get to the season, the less it looks like he's going to get suspended.
JSN here, yeah, by the way.
At the running back position right now. Just absolutely disgusting. JSN, I think, is my highest rated wide receiver. Actually, I have McConkey one spot higher than JSN. So he would be my highest rated wide receiver, but I'll go JSN if you want to go JSN.
Yeah, let's go JSN and we can play the game that McConkey even falls back knowing that he's lower on the list.
Yeah, yeah. And the nice thing, again, man, the format that we're doing this draft for is, as we talked about, it's a one quarterback, two running back, two wide receiver, one tight end, one flex. We're at the point in the draft where we have, if we go to our team right here, we have our starting roster already filled out. We're at a point now where we can just take upside swings. And to me, JSN is an upside swing. So why would I draft Cortland Sutton, for example, who's a total sexless pick who could be fine, I guess, but not the type of upside swing you want to be taking in a shallow league format, when I could take Romo Dunze or I could take Xavier Worthy? Again, why would I draft some of these running backs, Zeke, Jerome Ford, Gus Edwards, who are total sexless running back picks, when I could be taking some of these upside swings at wide receiver? And somehow George Kittle is on the board right now, which at the 903 is absolutely ridiculous. I almost want to take him just to prove a point. But what do you think here? You want Addison? You want Odunze? You want Worthy? What are you thinking?
I mean, you mentioned shallow lineup, full PPR, playing for the late season now because we filled out our wide receiver core really well. I love Romo Odunze here.
Yeah, especially knowing that we already have Rice too. We could take Worthy, I suppose, instead. But knowing we already have Rice, I think it makes sense to go tie break there to Odunze. Again, in the late rounds, we're just going to be taking upside swings. We're at a point. Keon Coleman obviously really stands out there. We maybe want to dip back to the running back position. Some people might be having an aneurysm right now, thinking that we don't have enough running backs on our roster. But again, we ran a double hero RB strategy where we're betting that ETN and Achan are going to be the guys that carry us, and we're going to backfill in the late portion of the draft, which is where we're at right now. So do you want to grab Rico Dowdle or a Khalil Herbert or something, or do you want to go back to the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I'm fully content on Rico here, to be honest. It's not much higher than where I even have him ranked.
Yeah, like in a vacuum, I have Keon Coleman ranked higher, but knowing that it's a shallow format, we can't start them any wide receivers, and we already have five of them on our roster, I would definitely be fine going back to the running back position. Coleman is actually still there. Do you want to grab him now?
Yeah, sure. I'm down with Keon Coleman here.
Yeah, for sure. We still have a couple picks left, too, that we could still backfill some running back production. We're starting to get to that area of the draft where wide receivers and running backs are starting to flatten out a little bit, where it's not totally wide receivers easily the best value on the board.
Yeah.
And we can see guys like Bucky Irving, Braylon Allen. I'm going to look at the rankings here. The latest Fantasy Pros ECR has these guys rated the highest. I'm cool going Bucky Irving. I don't really take him a whole lot, but I did. I was kind of impressed with him in the preseason. I think Estime will be available for us with our next pick. So I think if we want to go with Estime, we can take him after.
Yeah, I'd be cool with Bucky or Braylon.
Yeah, yeah. Knowing that we actually have our positions locked down, let's go with the more high upside play. We got the guy with the workhorse size. Let's grab Braylon Allen there in case anything happens to Breece Hall, and Bucky actually fell back to us. So we could go with Bucky as well.
And real quick with Braylon, I will say this, because obviously if you guys followed us in the Dynasty season, you'll know that we were relatively lower on him compared to consensus. But I mean, I will say he moved way better in the preseason than I would have expected based on his Wisconsin tape, to be honest. His last year at Wisconsin, maybe it was, you know, carrying extra weight. Maybe it was him just not playing at full speed. I don't know what the case was. It looked like he was running through mud. And I will say in that preseason game, he did look spry for that size. So I do definitely have to make some modifications to what I could potentially think for the potential of him.
Yeah, no, it looks like he's the clear RB2 on that team. It's obviously expected to be a pretty good offense. He's climbing up the handcuffs rankings for sure. Oh, yeah. I don't think he'll work into the backfield unless Breece Hall is down. But if Breece Hall gets injured, I do think he has a chance to be really solid. Bucky Irving, on the other hand, I do think has a chance to work into the backfield with Rashad White there. So we'll grab him, close out our draft. And again, we will kind of recap how our team ended up looking here. We got a B, which is kind of insane to me. But you guys can see our team there. Again, we grab the elite anchor running backs with Travis Etienne, Devon Achan after our Tyreek Hill pick at 3 overall. The basis of the double hero RB strategy, and we did an entire video on this if you want to go check it out, is that when you take your swings at running back, you want to make swings on guys that you believe have elite upside. I think both Etienne and Achan have elite upside. We saw Etienne the first 8 weeks of the season be a 20 point per game score. We saw Achan on any kind of full workload be a high upside, big play, receiving threat in a great offense. Those are our upside swings. We are basically locking in those guys to our RB slots to begin the year. Where we backfill is not in the running back dead zone, where, you know, some newer fantasy players like to backfill because they understand that running backs get injured. But what we're doing is leaning into that uncertainty, hoping they don't get injured, because we only have a 1 in 12 chance probably in a 12-man league of winning our league anyway. We're going to backfill in the late rounds with Rico Dowdles, with Braylon Allens, with Bucky Irvings. And if those guys don't work out, we cut them and we churn the waiver wire like you guys probably have done in years past, to pick up Kyren Williams, to pick up Devin Singletary, to pick up Gus Edwards, to pick up some of the guys that were standouts from the waiver wire last year. So we make that assumption at running back. We grab all of the wide receiver value we can possibly handle with Tyreek, Debo. I have Debo ranked inside my top 24 players, and we got him in the fourth round. Rashee Rice, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Romo Dunze, those guys are ranked in like the fifth, sixth round for me. And we got them in like basically in the late rounds of our draft, and we were still able to backfill with a Keon Coleman upside swing with Rico Dowdle, Braylon Allen, Bucky Irving. Like I said, we get our elite anchor onesie and Anthony Richardson, rushing mobile quarterback, as we talked about in the strategy portion of this video. And Kyle Pitts, we mentioned as one of the biggest values on this platform, because proven production is what people are seeking out here. And Kyle Pitts has burned person after person in these type of formats. People are sick of believing in Kyle Pitts, listening to us fantasy analysts talk him up. But this is the year that you should be in on Kyle Pitts. If you haven't been in on him to this point, this should be the year. He's got a quarterback upgrade. He's got an offensive coordinator upgrade.
Yeah, 100%. And adding to that real quick, I mean, I don't want to toot our own horns, but I mean, just looking across the board, I think we made the right decision at every single spot.
Yeah, no, it was the right decision definitely to go with two running backs, because, I mean, we definitely could have taken Achane with this first pick, for example, and then grabbed Nico Collins with our next pick. But at the next selections, like, we would have been deeply into the running back dead zone. We would have missed out on James Cook, on even Josh Jacobs, who I'm okay with taking at the end of the fourth there. And we would have had to completely fade running back all the way down to this like seventh, eighth round range. And I think the byproduct of drafting on ESPN or Yahoo versus Underdog, for example, is on Underdog in the seventh, eighth, ninth round range, if you don't have a lot of running backs on your roster, there's very solid projections on the board. You can get Zamir White and Jonathan Brooks and Jalen Warren in the seventh to the ninth round. Whereas on these platforms, you're like, do I want to draft Brian Robinson at the 709, for example, because
Tony
I
Pollard at the 612.
Yeah. Like, if you're going to go wide receiver heavy approach, like this 109 team did, you got to commit to it fully. You can't just start taking dead zone running backs. Like, I like Javonte Williams in like the eighth round, but I don't like him at the 509.
Yeah. 509 is absurd. That's what I will say. I feel like the majority of the stink on the zero running back strategy comes from people that are drafting in ESPN Yahoo leagues that take a few wide receivers early. And like you said, do it the wrong way, in the sense that they panic and they try to take their running backs in the mid rounds at way worse projections, like Javonte, like Aaron Jones there. Like, I mean, even James Conner at the 5-2, obviously Alvin Kamara. We like Rashad White. We don't like 401 Rashad White. Like, there's big differences there. So
yeah, absolutely. Again, it's, if you're going to go running, if you're a running back heavy person, you definitely want to get them early. That's, if you want running backs, you need to get them early. Otherwise, you're going to be walking right into the running back dead zone. If you don't have the stomach or the stones to be able to stick out a true zero RB into the seventh, eighth round when you have no running backs on your roster, zero RB is not the strategy for you, unfortunately, to say. And definitely check out the zero RB video that we talked about. And again, if you are in an ESPN league that has variations to the scoring settings where you have three wide receivers and two flexes and such like that, you actually can run a very effective zero RB on the ESPN platform because of how good of values you're getting at the running back position. But if you have the bog standard two running back, two wide receiver, one flex standard format that they have here in full PPR, then you're definitely not in a position to be running a zero RB type of look. So Danny, anything else before we get out of here?
Yeah, the last thing I will say before you kind of wrap us up is, if you did enjoy this video, we will be making a playlist with all of our August content, like I mentioned earlier. So if you're watching this one, you like this one, you want to go back, watch, maybe you have a league both on ESPN and on Yahoo, you want to watch that video, or you want to watch our strategy videos, you want to watch our superlative videos, all of that will be made available in the playlist above. So you guys can binge watch that if you want, you know, watch two, three at once. You're trying to get prepped for your office draft, we'll make sure that is all available for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you do want our rankings, you trust our opinion, you liked what you heard here, obviously leave a like and subscribe down below. But you can get our rankings by going to Underdog Fantasy, signing up using the promo code FSE. Again, get involved in some drafts right now. They have some low stakes, $3 entry, $5 entry type of contest going on all the time. You can get some good practice for your home leagues, especially if you are drafting on ESPN or on Yahoo, which I'm assuming you are if you watched and clicked on this video and watched it all the way to the end. Underdog Fantasy will get you over-prepared to beat your league mates. You will understand where the sharpest players in fantasy football are taking the players in terms of overall ADP, how to structure your team, and things of that nature. It will get you over-prepared for your draft. And of course, you can get our draft guide totally for free by signing up over there using promo code FSE, depositing $10. It'll be within your email inbox within 24 hours. And then also, too, if you already have an Underdog account, you can't play where you currently live, you can head to flockfantasy.com and use the promo code FSE over there. That'll get you all of our bonus content, including our draft guide, including our rankings during the season. That'll get you our weekly rankings and so much more. Head on over there, use promo code FSE, 7 days for free, 30% off, all that good stuff. So like I said, if you enjoyed, leave a like, subscribe, all that stuff down below. Leave any comments that you have. Peace out. We'll talk to you soon.